This was the only Sunday we could do this in September. I knew there was going to be a number of ways, so I just want to reiterate, as Andy has said, we're going to make this available to as many as possible. But, you know, I just want to go back to that God story from Rachel. That is how we are to be in life. But it has to start somewhere, and it's starting in here, in this building, in this community. And God will use you as much as he's used Rachel in that. We should expect that to be the norm of our lives. And that's a big thing, because we don't see it. But that's God's desire to use in each of us, and I just praise him for that. Now, this morning isn't about Jacqueline and myself, but it is, but it isn't. I'm very conscious it shouldn't be on us. We want you to be focused on what God is doing. And some of the things that we're going to share, we're sharing as part of the team, the leadership team. And you might think, well, who's the leadership team? Well, we'll come to that. We, as a couple, want to verbalize where we are in our journey. And the shape of the wineskin that we believe God is forming in us, Rugeley Community Church. And this is all in the context of people, not facility. We're so thankful for this facility, but the people are what is important. And much of what we will share actually has future preaches. I know it does. We're only sketching where we are on the journey. So, where are we? Well, I want to share where we've been since 2010. Because as part of Christ Central, and you might think, well, who's Christ Central? Well, they were when New Frontiers got to a point where Terry stood down and David Straub wasn't going to pick up, they went into different, what they called, spheres. And we were in the Christ Central sphere, which is led by Jeremy Simpkins. And so we are a group of churches. Well, within that Christ Central sphere, we met as about 7 or 8 churches in what was Borderlands. Who remembers Borderlands? Oh yeah, there's a few that remember Borderlands. Now, when Borderlands came to an end in 2010, that put us out as a church in a limb, really. And we were okay with that, because it worked very well for the other churches in Borderlands, but it didn't fit where we were because of geographic location of meeting up. So we've tended to meet with Wildwood once a month and pray with them, but we lost that contact that we had with the other churches that were in what was called Borderlands. And actually, I believe that was the start of our journey that we're on in 2016. Now, as many of you know, in 2013, Jacqueline and I visited Bethel Church in Redding, California. And the experience there impacted our lives in a way that we had never been impacted before. But it also connected us to prophecies spoken over us in 2007 while we were at International House of Prayer in Kansas. And the prophecies spoken over us there, we didn't quite understand, but suddenly it all came in, it all matched up when God was speaking to us in Bethel. And God was speaking to us about changing the atmosphere of our town. You know, what Rachel has shared this morning changes the atmosphere of our town. People can't deny when God moves like that. But it was also prophecy about being a church that lives within kingdom culture and experiencing heaven on earth. Jesus said, you know, when you pray, what did he say? Yeah, as in heaven. So, we've been on a journey. And within that journey, that has led us into building relationships with people who are on that same journey. Now, I don't have a picture of them, so that's why they're down as Tony and Kay. People know Tony and Kay. You can't miss Tony. But people know Tony and Kay. But since then, we've also been building relationships with Dave and Junie Colony, who used to leave Frontline in Liverpool. And also Tony and Ursula Russell from Life Springs in Wolverhampton. Many of us have been to conferences, to worship times that they've hosted on there. Jean, Trevor and myself have been going donkey's years to an annual bi-monthly meeting called Global Leprosy Hub, where it just comes to be with those like-minded to share fellowship and worship together. And then more recently, we've had the team up from Eastgate in Kent. Remember, they were teaching on healing, and they're led by Pete and Kim Carter. Now, alongside this, Father has been doing a blueprint within us for a new wineskin for what we should be looking like as a church together. It says in Mark 2:22, "No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins." Wine is the expression of the intoxicating presence of God. It is a metaphor of Holy Spirit in someone changing the way they think to the point where their experience is altered and different because of his physical presence in and upon them. Back to Rachel's testimony again. That is an example of the Holy Spirit in and working through and out of someone. There are dimensions of God, aren't there? He's in everything. Would we agree with that? Yeah. He's living in each one of us. He's living in each one of you. That's why what Rachel shared should be the norm in our lives. It's not about us, it's about what he does in us and through us. But there is another element. As a body, when we come together, he is amongst us. He dwells within our space together. There is something about the anointing that is magnified when we are together. We don't say that's why it's important to be together, because it's a meeting. It's because when we come together, there's a dimension of the Spirit that doesn't happen when we're apart. The wineskin is where God pours out his intoxicating presence. It is a metaphor for the place where God's presence is making us think differently. So what is our wineskin shaping up to be like? Do you know, it's been a real battle to put this together this week. I don't mean that lightly. Satan doesn't want us to progress, but I won't give him the place he's not due. But it has been a battle. Tony and Kay, Dave and Julie, and Tony and Ursula are all friends who are speaking into the leadership team in one way or another, and have been for the last few years. And what I mean by that is in oversight, in guidance, in wisdom, in support, in equipping, and in accountability. Tony and Ursula, that's that couple there, from Life Springs, they're gathering a small group of senior leaders who they felt a deeper joining with and a common journey. And Jacqueline and I are going to the first of those in a week or so's time. And we feel it's a real honour to be around these people. I would say that we as a team recognise in all of these four couples apostolic oversight. They are all in churches where they have accountability. They are speaking to churches nationally and internationally. And I regard it as an honour to call them our friends. Dave and Julie and Tony and Kay have already said that they are happy for you as a church family to contact them about the likes of Jacqueline and myself and the leadership team, if we're naughty, or if you don't agree with. And that needs to be, because there needs to be accountability from bottom to top. We're also partnering with Eastgate, with Pete and Kim and the team there, and are building relationships. They came and did that healing weekend for us, so they're helping to equip and support us. And we're looking at another team coming next year, not to do on healing, but to do other things, but in helping to equip. But more about them later. So where does that leave us in regards to Christ Central? Well, with our journey since Borderlands, and now with partnering with friends who are on a similar journey to us in building kingdom culture and new wineskins, and providing us with apostolic oversight, we believe our journey with Christ Central has come to a natural end. To use the analogy of buses, Christ Central's journey is a different route in shape and culture to the bus we are on now. Buses have different routes, but they end up at the same destination. Do we have a problem with Christ Central? No. We still have friends and many friends within there. It's just not our route that we're on now. It's just not the journey that we believe God is calling us to now. I don't believe it affects New Day. Neither do I believe it affects Jubilee Plus. And it certainly has no effect on us being part of the Evangelical Alliance. But we felt now was the time to make this clear. What else does this new wineskin look like? The structure of the leadership team. We used to meet as elders and then have another meeting as elders and wives. Our new wineskin is one of meeting as a leadership team. So that means Andy and Jane, Dave and Wendy, and just to say about Dave and Wendy, we're looking to recognise the role that they're leading within the church, hopefully next February 2017. And Jacqueline and myself. And we now, as a leadership team, have each got different areas of responsibility. So, Jacqueline and myself, I look after Chase Area Pregnancy Centre, if you wondered what that was. It's not some secret organisation, CAPC. That is the Chase Area Pregnancy Centre. Jacqueline, oversight is the pastoral team. I'm food bank, signpost team, and worship. Andy and Jane. Andy is the health and safety link to the directors. I think that deserves a badge, that one. Jane is Little Gems. Andy is media. And Jane is oversight youth. For Dave and Wendy, Dave is Access English. They're both going to be overseeing the fellowship groups. Dave's oversight over outreach and Alpha. And there's another badge needed for this one. Dave is the Rugeley Community Centre / Centre Staff link to the directors. Also, Helping Hands and Wendy at Searchlight. Then jointly as a team, we will produce this on a sheet, so it's up on the wall and you have copies. But jointly as a team, Kingdom Weeks and Wider Leaders Meeting. Also in 2017, as a leadership team, we have registered our interest in starting a year-long training course with Eastgate Church called Living Fire. They won't set us on fire, I hope, but I hope they will inside. It's training that involves teaching, coaching, and mentoring. There are two times when we'll go down to Eastgate for training and input. There will be 5 internet conferences. There is an opportunity for a mission team to come here, and they will also give us specialised training for specific areas. Why do we feel that's important? Because its purpose is to help us create a sustainable kingdom culture in our own cultural context. We are, these guys that we're building a relationship with are literally further down the journey than we are. But with all of them, they are so excited about what God is doing with you. They're not looking to church build, denomination build. They're excited about what God is wanting to do with you guys. They know what God has spoken over us prophetically. They come and see this facility and they're excited about what God is going to do with you. That's why they want to partner. That's why they want to build friendship. I believe our relationship with Pete, Kim and the team at Eastgate is only going to grow. So now I'm going to hand you over to my wife.
Okay, so what I wanted to look at now is, what is the wineskin made up of? What does that mean? And as Richard alluded to, any one of these could actually be a preaching themselves, so it's really just going to be brush strokes. So any one of these is a preaching itself, so I'm just going to do a sort of brief brush stroke on what our wineskin is made up of. So firstly, it's a culture of having a strong identity in who we are in Christ. Knowing our identity, knowing God, who God has called us to be, enables us to feel worthy of being loved and being used by God. And recently at the European Leaders Advance, we had Heidi Baker, who leads Iris Ministries in Mozambique, and she told us a story of a blind lady who she saw sitting on her own as she was walking through a village. And She was already late for a pastor's meeting or training or something like that. So she was in two minds, you know, do I go to the training? Do I go to this lady? And one of her values is to always stop for the one. So she went over to this lady. She asked this lady her name. And this lady didn't have a name. She'd never been named. And she asked the other people around, what's this lady's name? And she was just the blind lady. And Heidi said to this lady, you know, can I give you a name? And I can't remember what she called. I think it was something like Joy, or she named her Joy, something like that. And she sat with this lady, and she hugged her, and she held her until her white eyes turned brown, and she was healed. And this lady had been healed. She came to know Jesus, and she had a new name. And you know what? We have a new name. We have an identity. And we need to learn to walk in the good of that. And that's part of our wineskin. We also have the culture of family. And community is a big deal to God. And in the natural, out of a union of two people joining together, we come into this world automatically. That places us in community. And people talk about their longing to belong to a community, and all too often they lament that they can't find it. But wanting a healthy and thriving community is a natural desire and should be pursued. And you know what? As Christians, we have the blueprint of community inside of us, and the world is waiting. It's waiting for us to show up in that way. You know, and finding your spiritual family is one of the most important things that we can do. But sometimes we need to take the focus off getting our need met and instead put our energy into meeting that same need for someone else. Because, you know, it's in family, that's where our calling and our identity is worked out. I don't know about you, but I've said sometimes there must be more than this. You know, I've got my walk with God, and, you know, that's strong, but this must be more than this. And the ambition just to survive in life is an earthly ambition. But for us to say to God, I want to partner with you on your mission, to be your ambassador, to be your son, to be your daughter, well, that's an ambition of heaven. And that type of prayer is going to transform this community and produce people that are going to bring hope and life. So our wineskin is to be one of having the ability to host the Holy Spirit and his presence, and to create an atmosphere that allows people to rest, to be safe, to be vulnerable, and to connect in a real way. And that doesn't have to be forced. It doesn't have to be rushed. We can give it time, and we need to learn to have fun. So that brings me nicely into the next culture of fellowship. Yeah, Jesus wants us to be filled with him so that when people meet us, they encounter him, an exchange of life. Don't we want that? Yeah, we do. We need a personal relationship with God, but we also need a corporate relationship with the body. Because the word needs to become flesh and demonstrated among us. We need to be continually devoted to one another. We need to learn to make friends and make connections. And it's in the context of fellowship that this is all worked out. So honoring one another, that's a culture we want to develop as part of our wineskin. What does that mean? We talk about it a lot. So what does honouring, the value of honouring, look like? And in a nutshell, it's treating another person as we would treat Jesus. It's the foundation of our value for God. Our honouring is based on values that please our Heavenly Father. Honour is created in a community of people. Sorry, honor is created as a community of people learn to discern and receive people in their God-given identities. It goes back to knowing who we are in Christ, knowing our calling, knowing how to live out that calling. I just want to put up some verses. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And in Matthew 25:34-40, it says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" You know, we are a covenant people who have a covenant God. The Hebrew word for covenant is berit, meaning to bond. And in the Greek, it means a binding together. And in the Bible, a covenant is a relationship based upon mutual commitments. It typically involves promises, obligations, and rituals. A covenant relationship means that we are called beyond convenience. The goal of covenant is to almost become like a marriage. You cannot separate passion and sacrifice. So what covenant does is it bonds people through God's love, not by mutual agreement. So we're bonded by who we love, not what we're against. Our commitment to Jesus and to one another is as a covenant people. And I told you this was going to be a bit of a whistle-stop tour. So lastly, our wineskin is to have the culture of being a people who live supernatural lives. And we've already experienced some of that this morning. You know, our vision is to change the atmosphere and produce people who change the world, who change the community. I don't know who I heard this from, and it's an example, but we are to be thermostats, not thermometers. I quite like that, because a thermometer reflects the temperature of the environment, but a thermostat regulates the environment. And we can do this as we learn to be secure in our identity and calling. You know, we are in a relationship with a good God who wants to touch earth with heaven. And he's given us this mandate in Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. It says, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." You know, Jesus was submitted to the Father, and we need to be also.
So, our new wineskin, our culture, is one of creating good soil for you to grow. Our prayer this morning is that we're not giving you information, we're stirring your hearts. Because what we're trying to do is not copy someone or reproduce something. We want what God has for us here. And it's within this culture that we're describing. And we have to catch it. We're only at the start of what I think is a really exciting journey. So, we've used this analogy before, what we've heard. As a leadership team, do you remember who that was? Okay. As a leadership team, we are committed to be your floor, not your ceiling. What do I mean by that? We want you to grow. You do see in some places insecurity that the leadership becomes a ceiling in keeping things contained so that everything's okay. No, we want to be your floor so that you grow and surpass what God has done with us. And I mean that. We mean that. Our heart is to create great people who do great works. I see great works in every one of you. There's a load out helping in Searchlight this morning. I see great works in them. There's loads on holiday. I think there's probably more in Scotland than there is in Rugeley today. But we see great works in them. And within a culture of committing to learn and grow together. Gone are the days where it's about the leadership team and they do everything. Those days are gone. We all want to grow and learn together. So within that context of learning and growing together, I just want to remind you of a couple of things we've still got to come this year. We've advertised them all year, but it's amazing how our memories get distant from January. So, at the end of October, we've got Tony and Kay Smith back with us. On the Saturday morning, Jacqueline and Kay are going to be doing a ladies' breakfast. If it looks anything like that, I'm shoving a dress on and I'm sitting in and eating the breakfast on that. And then on the Sunday, the 30th, Tony and Kay are going to be speaking on slaves, servants and friends. So, I've pre-warned you of that again. And if you're listening to this, then please, you are welcome. And then in November, the end of November, Dave and Julie are going to be bringing a team with them. The team will consist of people who will do a creche and musicians. It's from Friday night through Saturday, Sunday morning. Now these are important dates on our journey, and I want to encourage as many of you as possible to be there, because we're growing together. Our commitment is to grow together. Our covenant is to be as one family. The problem is we live in a world that just wants to distract us from everything. Now we're not saying that we should never go away, but actually there is a battle sometimes. There is a choice sometimes. And we want to encourage you, particularly on those two settings, to be with us as family so that we grow and learn together. Then from the new year, we have been meeting in fellowship groups, have we not? In some respects, that's going to continue to Christmas, but in the new year, we're going to slightly change things for a season. We're going to start running 3 midweek courses that will help to cultivate kingdom culture. Some of you will know these. They're not new courses. We've done them, but we're being more purposeful in what we want to do as a family. We're going to be doing Keep Your Love On. I won't go into details of each of these now because we will do that in the coming weeks and months. We're going to be doing Fire Starters. Who's been on Fire Starters? Yeah. So, they know how to start fires. And also, we're going to be doing Freedom in Christ. These are spread over. They're going to be spread over 3 nights, a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday. So that's going to help with babysitting, hopefully. And we really do want to encourage and expect as many as physically possible to be at these meetings. They're going to be in a 3-week block, and then the 4th week you will meet in your fellowship group that is current for a meal or a social together, and then it'll be back into 3 weeks. Then at the end of that we will look at where we go with our midweeks. So when we're gathering as a family, we are looking to cultivate an atmosphere of freedom to be who God has called us to be. Does that make sense? We want it to be a safe place to be real with one another. How many times when people say, "How are you?" have you said, "I'm all right," when inside, you're probably, like me, a wreck? It's not that we want to display all of our circumstances and life that's going on, but actually, we need to be real with one another so that we can be real with those around us. And we want to cultivate, when we come together, a place where it's safe to get it wrong. As we exercise our gifts, as we step out in faith, in trusting God, sometimes we all get it wrong. But you know, that's probably the place where we learn the most. The practicalities, Andy is probably going to touch on next week, of what it means to share in a safe place. So we're talking about freedom within our meetings. But you know, actually, when you allow freedom in a kingdom setting, that comes at a cost. Just ask Jesus in regards to our freedom. He paid the ultimate cost. But when we come together in a sense of kingdom freedom, there is actually greater accountability. Galatians says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So kingdom freedom doesn't mean free for all. It's just anything goes. That's not right. That's not God's kingdom. It is freedom to express and be who we are and to glorify Him and to step out in the giftings and get it wrong and it be okay. But it doesn't mean it's a free for all. When Jesus invited those to the banqueting table, there was both honor and distinction in the words that he said. He said, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. You know, when you come to a feast, when you come to a feast with Christ, there should be freedom, there should be expectancy, excitement, joy. There should be a Holy Spirit mess and a mayhem, but there is always godly order. Whatever the Holy Spirit does, there should always be fruit too. See, Jesus didn't say, come to the banqueting table and have a free-for-all. Yeah, come and experience the banquet and the table. But actually, he says within that, there is honor and there is distinction. Therefore, our culture is one of honoring those who are placed in authority. Because ultimately, that honors Jesus. Our culture is one of putting others first. See, freedom and honoring isn't, yeah, I'm free to do what I like. It's actually thinking and putting others first. And it's making sure that we're not thinking or acting too highly of ourselves. We're putting those honors first. Paul says in Romans, give honor where honor is due. Now we are looking to make some changes on our Sunday mornings. For winter, we feel that we should move outside. See, I thought that'd all make you look up, just seeing who's awake and who. No, for winter we want to raise things up, so we're going to meet on the roof. No. Two things we're going to change. As some of you know, we have a prayer meeting in the Brereton room, and God has been doing something special in that time in there. I think every guest speaker we've had, every visitor, says about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it's not because it's the Brereton room. It's because what God is doing with us. But the next level of our journey is to move that prayer meeting, because it isn't a holy huddle. It's for everyone to come to. We're going to move it into this setting here. So from 9:40 till 10 o'clock, if the Spirit moves in your left ear at 10 o'clock, we're under grace and freedom, okay? You can lay here, do whatever you want. We're actually going to pray in here, because I feel that will bring a dimension in this meeting and add to that. So, you're all warmly welcome. We'll have music on, but it won't be overpowering, but it will be on because it helps set the atmosphere that we want to set. So, from next week, if you go into the Brereton, there won't be anyone there, I hope. It's going to be in here. Then secondly, I want to talk to you about something that's really important. Teas and coffees. And I mean that. We want to move the teas and coffees out of the fellowship groups. Now there'll be a big amen there. And we want to form a hospitality team. Now I can't stress how important we regard teas and coffees. And I'm not joking. It is a vital part of our value to serve others as we would serve Jesus. It goes in the same vein we treat others. And I'm not just talking in the church, I'm talking in life. We treat, speak, deal, act with others as we would with Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And you think, well, that's very hard. And yeah, I know, we all fail at something. But we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have His intoxicating presence within us. I'm serious when I say this. I believe serving teas and coffees is as important as anything else that takes place on a Sunday. I mean that. It helps and serves the church family. It serves visitors. It brings them into our environment. You know, people will chat over coffee what they won't say sitting next to you. And we want these things that when we serve to honor God. And so I want to ask you and challenge you. Is this a team that you have a heart and vision to be part of? See, I don't want someone just to do it because they think, oh, it needs to be done. No, do you have a heart and a vision to be part of this important team? Perhaps you have a heart and a vision to oversee this team. But there is a challenge to us all in looking how we serve on a Sunday. Gone are the days when it's going to be all done all from the front. I hope you realize that has been what God has been changing on our journey. Pastor doesn't do everything. Pastor can't do everything. If that's the case, we've created a ceiling. Because then you can't grow and the church can't grow. And we think, oh, well, I don't know what I can do. The smallest role is so important because it makes up the whole. So it's a challenge to us all. Its importance is that it builds kingdom and ultimately it honours God. It honours God. So just before we finish, from next Sunday we'll be starting a new series and it's going to run from John 14 to John 17. You think, well, why those specific chapters? Well, these chapters incorporate and catch much of what we've talked about in regards to our culture, as well as us helping catching what we've talked about, God's big plan and a passion for the kingdom of God expressed on earth as it is in heaven. Now that's going to weave in and out of other things we've got planned and goes into 2017. As I've said, from this morning, our prayer is that your heart is being stirred. I don't expect you to, we can't expect to catch and everything because we're on the journey. Sometimes we only feel we're half a step ahead. Sometimes I feel half a step behind. But that's the journey we're all on. But our prayer is that you are stirred that where you are is not where you're supposed to stay. God has new levels. Get a bigger vision. We're not intended to be a static people, a sofa people. We're to grow. And as we grow, we're to touch and affect the communities where we live. And finally, Jacqueline and I have only sketched out an outline this morning. We believe that we're on the start of an exciting journey with Father. But I want to say this at this stage of our journey, and this is why we want everyone to hear what we're sharing this morning. What does wine do when it ferments? Has anyone ever made wine at home? It expands. If the wine skin is not able to stretch, it would divide. It would split. It would break. And the wine would be lost. And in the context of kingdom, the wine is the most important thing. And the skin would be divided. God's heart is not to divide. Denominations divide when they don't agree, and they come together when they do agree. That's about doctrine. Father's looking for wineskins that don't divide. He wants out to pour out more and more into us as a body, for a deeper sense of his presence. But it can't divide and it can't break. Otherwise he can't do it. So he's looking for places where he can pour out more and more and more where the wineskin won't divide. As Jacqueline has already said, our new wineskin is one of covenant, not agreement. And there's a lot we want to preach into that. Because we come under a covenant God. And we are a covenant people. So within this covenant, we will agree to disagree without falling out. How many times have we been in churches, settings, even here, where we've fallen out because we've disagreed? That's not to be the culture that we are. We want a culture and a covenant where we will watch out for each other's backs. All these guys that we talked of earlier have said to us individually, said to me, "We've got your back, Richard." It means they'll be there. When times are tough, we'll be there. When we don't quite understand why you're reacting or going through something, we will be there. And that's how it should be with one another. within this covenant, we're to know the heart behind what we say when truth is spoken. When there's those times of bringing correction or encouragement or guidance. I'm not talking about times of bringing your preference, my preference, what my peace of mind is. I'm not talking about those. When we are speaking truth, we will know the heart behind that because we have a covenant with one another. And at the heart of this covenant is commitment. Commitment to letting Jesus be the center of our lives. Commitment to one another. Commitment to fulfilling the plans and purposes that God has for us as a people. We cannot do it without each other. And commitment to being used by Father in bringing His kingdom to the communities we live and work in. Our heart is that every single person that calls Rugeley Community Church their home will rise to this wineskin. We don't know what it looks like fully, but we're on a journey that we're committed to. In sharing as much as we can at this stage, we hope that that blueprint stirs your heart. But to use the analogy of buses, you don't see that on the 825, do you? In regards to wineskin. And I'm serious on this, and for you listening, I'm serious for this. If this bus, if our wineskin, if the community that we believe God has called us to build with the people we believe that God has called us to build it with, if this journey isn't for you, we will help you find your bus. What are you saying, Richard? Do you want people to leave? No, I don't. I don't. That's the last thing I want. But what I want is the best that God has for you. And if it's to be that your best, for you to blossom, requires a different bus or a different wineskin, we will do our utmost in helping you find that. And I'm serious about that. Do I want any single person to go from it? No, I don't. What we want is the best that God has for you. And I trust and pray that is with us. Remember what Jacqueline said, finding your spiritual home and family is one of the most important things we can do in life. I'm not in a numbers game. I'm not looking for the biggest or best church in Rugeley. But I don't believe it's honouring to you for you to find out on this journey that suddenly you're not on the bus you thought you were on. So now is the time to be clear within that. Because, as I say, we want the best for you. We are not the same church we were in Fernwood. Was there anything wrong with the church of Fernwood? No. It's just the journey God has taken us on. Are we the finished article? No. Not by a long way. But that's what's exciting. The journey ahead is exciting. We're evolving into what God has called us to be as a people. But it's a long way finished. And I just want to say one other thing. We're not trying to build a Bethel church. We're not trying to build a Life Springs church. We're not trying to build an Eastgate church. But we are ever so thankful for all of these guys who are on the journey with us. We are building the church that God has called us to be. And I'm thankful that God has given those around us to help us on the journey we are on. So this is a sketch. This is our journey. This is our wineskin. This is our bus. That sounds a bit like a song. This is our... Anyway, no, I won't sing. But this is where we are. So yeah, there are a number of ways. There are some out in search. But I really want everyone to hear what we have shared this morning. Because it is about our commitment and our covenant in being the people that God has called us to be. So can we stand? We're not going to ask you to respond, but we are going to pray, and then I want Jacqueline to pray a declaration over us, and then we're going to have one of the most equally important things that this morning needs to have and fulfill, and that is tea and coffee. That's quite correct. So let's pray. Father, I just pray that what we have shared doesn't come across as information, but will catch the heart of what you're saying to us and what you've done with us and where you've been leading us. And Lord, in our case, it's since 2007, Lord. And yet we still feel we're at the beginning of this journey. I pray that you will settle in our hearts the things that we have shared this morning. But Lord, don't settle us. Don't settle us, Lord. May we continually be a people that press in for all that you have for us. Lord, you have shaped us in so many ways, and yet, Lord, you are still so much to shape. And Lord, we want to say, bring it on. Where we're at on the journey, Lord, I pray that you will take us to new depths with you. Move through us, Lord. Bring your kingdom. Touch us. Equip us. Change us. And use us to change the atmosphere. Not just in this town, not just in this region, but Lord, may we touch the world, I ask, in Jesus' name. Just keep where you are, because Jacqueline wants to just pray a declaration over us.
Yeah. And for all that's been spoken over us this day, we say to this day, you are blessed, and we declare that we serve a mighty God, who today will do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. We say you are a good God, and we eagerly anticipate your goodness. Amen.
If you need to ask us anything on what we shared this morning, then we'll happily try and answer that. But please go for tea and coffees.